I think my biggest takeaway is just take the trip, take the time for yourself. Yes, work hard, but play hard too, and take time to rest for yourself. And I think you owe yourself time to rest and to unplug and recharge.
Welcome to the Ladies Who Lead podcast. This is a community of women supporting women. Tune in every other Thursday to hear from SK Vaughn as she catches up with ordinary ladies doing extraordinary things. We will cover topics like diversity and inclusion, gender pay gap, thought leadership, and respect in the workplace. We want to celebrate with you and hear stories of success and hard lessons learned. Whether you are a lady who leads in the boardroom or a lady who leads in your community, this is the place for you. Let's do this.
I'm so excited to be back on the mic. It's just been a few short weeks since I have been on, and I cannot wait to catch you up on all the things happening outside of the busy grind with work. I do think it's really important as the ladies who lead. I think it's important to be the ladies who rest and find time to take a break, enjoy some core memories with people you love, and just gain a whole new perspective. And I feel like that is what I'm coming away with on my recent adventure. And I can't wait to break it down for you even further. I've had tons of people reaching out asking me how the trip was, all the details. Don't worry, we're not going to get into every single detail, but there are some great questions that I want to answer for those who are listening. And I have a bunch of great resources and additional content that will be on the blog as well as in our membership group. So feel free to check both of those out after this episode. Also, we'll link some of those resources in our show notes if you are interested. Let's get into it. So how am I thriving and surviving this week? Well, I am thriving because I just got off of a 10-day vacation, which I know is unheard of in the States. People are like, wait, you went where? For how long? Now, I feel like in other countries, it's a little bit more normal to take time to rest, recharge, and come back. So we're going to get into all of that. So I'm thriving in that sense of like, wow, I've had some really good, I wouldn't call it downtime because we were moving the entire time, but it was such a great trip. I mean, talk about a trip of a lifetime. And I feel so blessed and fortunate to have gotten to go on that and be a part of it. And man, what an experience. And then how am I surviving? Well, funny story. It was the last day on our trip and I fell out of the plunge pool, which I realize sounds like a ridiculous problem to have in general because it's so nice to have a plunge pool. But there are these really steep white steps in Santorini. If you've been, it's a beautiful place. I encourage you to go. I got out of the plunge pool and I slipped down the stairs. And immediately my brain went into overdrive and was like, okay, let's just fall into it gracefully, SK. Bring back those dance days. So I reach back and extend my right arm, trying to catch this little tiny rope that they were using for people to hold on to. These couldn't be up to code. And I know they're not in the States. I reach back and extend my right arm and lock it, trying to catch myself falling down these stairs. And when I do that, I managed to hit with my entire body weight, my right elbow, into this volcanic rock, which is what Santorini is built upon. And with my left foot, I hooked my left foot to the stairs, trying to like grip onto this, of course, just wet stair. And when I did that, I managed to just like hit the inside of my foot into the stair. And so I was doubled over crying hysterically because I really thought I had broken something. Justin comes out all worried and panicked per usual. I mean, he's the sweetest. He cares so much, but he always makes such a scene when I fall. He felt so bad and was so worried. I was just nervous because, you know, it was a pretty big hit and I was out of country and it's the last day and I still wanted to do the last activity, which was the wine tour. Luckily, I rallied and I'm fine, but my arm just went down. It was swollen for about like a week and still pretty sore. So I'm just going to roll with it. I'm surviving because of that, but still a really great trip. And I'm glad it happened towards the end, right? Well, I made it back to the States just last week from the most incredible trip to Greece, which you've probably guessed that by now, with my family. And there was sightseeing, there was amazing food, and of course, all of the culture. Now, I didn't have that opa moment, and that was sad for me. Or really one quite like this.
It's just, yeah. Ian is a vegetarian. He doesn't eat meat.
He don't eat no meat.
No, he doesn't eat meat.
What do you mean he don't eat no meat? Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I make lamb. Come.
But I did fall in love with the people and came back with a new perspective. And I think that's what trips are really all about, creating core memories with the people you love, just having the time of your life. And I'm just so thankful to have had that chance to do it. Now, it was definitely at a point where I needed some time away and just a break. And man, it was perfect. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about just the trip overall. You know, someone asked me where we went. And so we went to Athens, Eros, which I'm butchering because I cannot roll my R's, and Santorini. Athens is really, it's kind of the hub. It reminded me of Washington, D.C. for some reason. Maybe because it's like the capital. But there were so many great sites, like great sightseeing, great museums, a lot of history. I mean, these are ancient ruins that we're looking at, right? I mean, we're looking at the Acropolis, which, you know, has the Parthenon, which, you know, is dated 5th century BC, which is just really humbling when you think about it, because literally the columns that hold up this massive marble structure is the size of my office that I'm sitting in right now. I mean, the scale of it is just magnificent. And to think about in ancient times, you know, they were chiseling this marble from the mountain and rolling it down and using some kind of pulley system, ancient tools to build this place of sanctuary and worship and in honor of the Greek gods and goddesses. It was incredible. Even if like you're not really into Greek mythology or any of that, there's still an appreciation for just the true architecture and just the way artisans were back in those times to create something of this scale is a huge feat. And I was just in awe of getting to be on top of that mountaintop overlooking the city of Athens while I have this huge structure behind me that has stood the test of time. And so many different groups have taken over this sanctuary, this place of worship. I mean, talk about the Romans took over it. There were other groups that took over it. I mean, it wasn't just specific to Greek gods. I mean, different types of worship went on in this place. I mean, we spent a good part of our tour day there, and we had the most incredible tour guide, which I will definitely connect you if you're looking for someone who is so knowledgeable and so just, I don't know, embodied, I feel like the Greek spirit of what it means to be Greek. And she just had so much pride for her country. And it was just incredible to hear from her. She was very sassy, very bold, very articulate. And, you know, it was just incredible to get to learn from her. And cannot recommend this enough. We stayed at the most amazing hotel, which overlooked, it didn't overlook it, but you could see the Acropolis in the background. And that's like where we had like our morning breakfast with our coffee. And it was super, I mean, super nice and just a breathtaking view that not everyone in Athens had. And it was just so cool to meet so many unique people and different perspectives. We also went to Corinth, which is where Paul wrote his letters to the church. And we got to walk in his footsteps and we got to see some of the more historic sites of Corinth, which is kind of on the outskirts of Athens. It's probably about an hour or two away. It's pretty remote, desolate, like not a whole lot of, in comparison to Athens, right? Which has millions and millions of people living there. This was a little bit more remote. Beautiful. We got to see one of like the most historic sites where people were baptized and very, very cool. We also, I don't even know what this mountain was that we climbed up, but man, it was, I think, one of the tallest Acropolis nearby. And you got to see all over Corinth and really see it. And we also went to ancient Corinth, which was, I believe, built by the Romans. And that was really interesting because a lot of it's in ruins. You can still make out shapes and see it for what it once was, which was a magnificent kind of hub for that area. But it was just, I wish we'd had a tour guide on that part of it because we were just reading a bunch of signs and like interpreting. We had a driver and he was funny. I'll tell you this story. On the way to Corinth, our driver picked us up and he spoke pretty good English, I mean, considering. But the first thing he said to us when we got in the van was, "So, are we Republicans or Democrats?" And I was just like, I said, "I don't think I've had enough coffee for this conversation yet." It was like 8 in the morning, you know, their time, which, you know, jet lag is real. And I just hadn't even had like one cup of coffee yet. And I was like, are we really getting into U.S. politics with our driver at 8 a.m. in the morning? It was the funniest thing. And we were like, we're independents. Like, we're not going to get into all this. And it was just the funniest, interesting conversation. He had a lot of opinions. It was interesting hearing someone else's perspective on different global topics outside of, you know, what we typically hear in the U.S. He was a funny guy. I really, really enjoyed him. But he drove us and it was an incredible experience. And of course, I'll drop more of the details like our itinerary or the agenda if you want to see what we kind of did in more detail. If you're looking to take that trip, I definitely encourage it. Melissa Travels, I think that is your Instagram. I'm going to link her in my show notes too, because she is incredible. She is a family member and she does great, great group travels. So if you're looking to take that next trip and you need someone to help you organize and do all the logistics, she's your girl. So we did Corinth and that was like one day there. I think we did like 3 days in Athens. And then we went to Paros, which again, I'm butchering because I can't roll my R's. It is a island. And to me, this was like the true Greek experience. It's not super commercialized. It still feels very local, very authentic. And I won't forget just like the beautiful houses that were all painted white with the blue trim that you've probably seen in the pictures, with the stone, you know, walkways that apparently they also paint, which was interesting to us. Obviously, it would be. We noticed those kind of things. But the food was just incredible. We had fresh grilled fish right there as we were sitting by the water with the boats all anchored around us and beautiful crystal blue water. And everyone was just so kind, not super touristy. We luckily were being there in April. We missed out on like the big tourism season, which I think kicks up towards the end of May and runs through all, you know, August to September. I think August, they said, is like their busiest month where it's just packed with people, but not as packed as like a Mykonos or a Santorini. So Paros was just very down to earth, very authentic. I really, really enjoyed that. That's probably where I did majority of my shopping, actually. I really enjoyed that. And I'm actually bundled up in this wrap or blanket, I guess. They sell linens. It's called the Hammon people. And I'm telling you, these were the cutest, most just genuine retailers that I've met. It was the cutest linen shop. They had these beautiful, like light blanket that's kind of like a swaddle or like a wrap. And it's huge. And I'm obsessed with it. It's definitely lightweight, perfect for that mobile weather that we have down here. And we've got some really beautiful, like waffle white with the tassel kind of towels for the house. And I think they also threw in a gift for me, which was this beautiful silk blue scarf and like a tea towel. And then we also got this really big gray waffle duvet that is for our guest bed. And I'm telling you, what's so incredible about the Hammon people, they ship to the United States, they're in Paros. And what's unique about their story is it's, you know, a generational business, meaning that multiple generations in their family create these beautiful, you know, textiles, linens from scratch. And it's just incredible. And I just felt so seen and so appreciated in their store that I needed to get out of there as soon as I could because I was, you know, spending some serious money. But it was just a beautiful experience. And they work directly with skilled weavers to produce beautiful and vibrant hammam towel collections. and they've been created for generations, right? So it's just beautiful, versatile products, high quality terry towels woven on traditional shuttle looms. And it's just quality traditional weaves and techniques to create a product that is like the highest quality, and it's soft, absorbent, and it lasts. And so I just think it's really incredible that this business has been in this family for so long. And I wish I'd had like the Ladies Who Lead business card, because I would love to like reach out to them and get them on the podcast. But I am going to drop a link in the blog as well as the show notes to really explain all the vendor relationships that I made, because there are so many that I did that I'm not going to read them all out to you. But I got some beautiful jewelry, beautiful blankets and towels, like linens. We purchased a ton of souvenirs. I love this about Justin. He is so, my husband, he is the best. And I think he bought a souvenir for every single person he has ever met, because he wanted them to feel like they had a piece of Greece from our trip. And it was the sweetest thing. But I literally, like, I brought another bag just because I knew this was going to happen. But even then, it was too heavy. So we had to get creative with, you know, moving our luggage and changing out the weight and distributing it. But he really racked up on the souvenirs, which is super fun too, right? The Hema people, they were just incredible. They gave me some gifts for free and just the best kind of people, and just loved connecting with them and hearing their story. And I definitely cannot shout them out enough. So if you're looking to do some shopping internationally, I'm dropping you a link. Or if you find yourself in Paris next time, you should drop by, because it's one of the really cute shops locally. Are you looking for a new membership to really plug into, find community, and really begin thriving? Well, we have just the membership for you at the Ladies Who Lead podcast. We have a membership on Patreon that is the Thriving Membership. It's only $5 a month. You get exclusive content, bonus episodes, sneak peek at the new merch, and early access to all of our announcements and promotions that are happening right here, right now. You're just the first person to know about it. If this sounds like the membership group for you, don't hesitate to sign up, as we link it in our show notes. It's patreon.com/theladieswholead. And this is an incredible membership you do not want to miss out on. So Paris is probably one of my favorites there. I mean, it's hard to choose a favorite. I really liked the islands too, though, for different reasons. Like, Athens was so different because it's so metropolitan, like very much city. The traffic is crazy. Biggest takeaway is like the Greeks love to cut people off and drive around like crazy people. I mean, I love them. They're very passionate. But I will say, I think we're a little bit more cautious in the States with our driving. But it was a great experience. And Paris was definitely a different experience. So Paris was definitely like a slower pace, right? It was more on island time, the freshest of fish, the best just food overall, and just really great shopping. And I really enjoyed it. Of course, it was a little too cold to get in the water, but I think if I had been there in summertime, I definitely would have taken a boat out, like some kind of excursion, or chilled by the beach. But it was still a little chilly for that, but it was so nice and just beautiful. Then we went, and I think we were there for like 2 days in Paris. And then Santorini was 3 days, I believe. And wow, talk about like heaven on earth. It was a little bit of a hard travel day for me to get there, because we came in by like boat, which was kind of like a boat bus. That's not what they call it. But if anyone knows me, I get motion sick pretty badly. And it was fine, you know. We got through it, but I was trying very hard not to get sick for like 2.5 hours on the boat to get over to Santorini. And once we arrived, it was great. We got up the mountain, and it's an island built up off of volcanic rock, and it was just a sight to see. It's so hard to describe it. I'm doing my best. But as you drove up over the mountain and you get to the top, you're basically in the clouds, right? Because it's just built up. It's like a cliff, one big giant cliff, but it's an island and everyone lives like on the top of it. And then they you know, there's these caves that are carved into the sides of it where people stay, and that's where you see the beautiful white and blue and the, you know, stairs going down with this beautiful just view of the entire ocean, right? It's just, and with the best sunsets. And we got up onto the top and you just see the clouds around you and you literally feel like, okay, I feel like I'm on my way into heaven here. Like, it was just beautiful. And I've really just enjoyed that experience. We stayed in one village. We didn't really venture out too much in Santorini. We stayed pretty much in our village, but I would go back. Like, I could see myself spending a week in Santorini and hitting up the different villages every couple of days and just getting a feel for what that's like. But we did a beautiful sunset cruise. That the food was fantastic. It was run by locals. And the sunset was stunning. And of course, there was alcohol and drinks and all the fun and just a really great experience. I jumped into the water, which was near, I guess, one of the, I guess, the inactive volcano that's there right now. The water is like sulfur water. Like, it tastes, you can taste like the sulfur in it. And so you obviously can't drink the water and you shouldn't probably jump in if you're pregnant or expecting to be. If you have skin allergies, they like read out all of the reasons you shouldn't jump in. And then Justin's literally the first one in. And everyone's like, so are you going in? And I was like, well, I don't want to. But it was definitely the experience. So I jumped in and like screamed, you know, as I'm jumping in. And it was freezing, except there were certain hot spots where I guess my understanding is that it's an inactive volcano, but it still creates the hot spots in the water. I could, you know, fact check me if you want, but it's definitely a island built upon volcanic rock. And it's been inactive for, I think, 400 years or something like that. And it was just beautiful. Very, very pretty. And we did that. We did a wine tasting. We had incredible food. And of course, I'll try to drop all the food spots that we stopped at, like all the restaurants, because to me, I feel like you haven't been somewhere until you've tried all the food. Like, I don't feel like you can say you've been to Boston, for example, without trying like a Boston cream pie. Or I don't feel like you can, you know, insert whatever it may be. I feel like you have to try what is good there. And of course, in Greece, we had lamb, we had kebabs, you had, you know, a fresh fish, you know, fresh catch of the day, tuna. Like there was just so much that was so good and worth it that I honestly feel like the Mediterranean diet is for me. So I just can't say enough about it. I really loved each stop that we took. The Santorini where we stayed was like a cave where these old ship captains used to live. And they carved, apparently, in this boutique hotel, they before it was one, right? These captains lived here and they apparently wanted to be on this side of the water because it was more like the bay side, less rough. And that's where they would like anchor their boats and they could watch them. That's why they apparently stayed on that side. But I do have a few questions that people have asked me that have reached out. I'm going to pull that up real quick. My favorite spot in Greece. It's a great question. We visited Athens, Paris, and Santorini. All are beautiful and all are so different. And so it's hard to say because it's kind of like choose your adventure. Some people are, I think I like saw this funny like reel or TikTok recently. And it was like, we showed up on this vacation thinking that we were with the people who do the swim up bar kind of couple, but we're really with the couple who wants to sightsee and walk everywhere. And it's like, know who your people are. We did both, right? Which was nice because we had the luxury of kind of going from Athens to Paris to Santorini, that it was a nice experience because it kind of switched up the trip. It wasn't all relaxation and it wasn't all museums and sightseeing. It was a good combination. But I think it just kind of depends on what your adventure is. Like if you're someone who wants to just sit by a beach and chill all day and like, you know, take it easy, maybe Paris would be for you. Santorini is a lot of steps. And I just feel like you should know that up front. Like you should probably take the stair stepper a few times before you show up to Santorini because literally that's what it is. It's just steep uphill stairs. Great experience. Loved it. Would do it in a heartbeat again. But I wouldn't have considered it the most relaxing. I think Paris was a little bit more relaxing for me. But Athens was just incredible. I mean, we went to this Greek cultural museum where we got to see just items and artifacts that were, 5th century BC, 3rd century BC, like just crazy, crazy stuff. And just seeing how important the Greek Orthodox faith is to the country of Greece, it's the official religion, it was really, really interesting and eye-opening. And just going into a bunch of the different cathedrals and seeing it for ourselves, it was very humbling and very, very impressive how much time and attention to detail they put into the different places of worship. I would say someone also asked, what was your favorite cultural experience? And I would say the Acropolis overlooking Athens was culturally significant for me and very moving to think that, 5th century BC people were able to build such impressive places for politics and social life and worship. Also, it's just super interesting that the Greeks believe in building from what's already there. So the entire city is built on the foundation of ancient Greece. Like, I don't think people really know that. I did not know that. In fact, the museum that we went into that was near the Acropolis shows you, like, it's a clear glass. You can see down underneath the foundation of the museum, which was built upon, older ancient Greece foundations. That whole, like, little square around the Acropolis was kind of like the who's who that lived there. And literally, you could see down layers upon layers of ancient Greece in the foundations of the household. And they built upon that. Like, they didn't tear it down and then rebuild like we typically do in the States. They were like, no, this seems good. We're just going to build on top of it. So the entire city is built that way. Now, I'm not an engineer. I don't know if that's like the best way to do that, but that's what they do. The islands that we visited, of course, are a must. So some of the most beautiful places I've been to so far. So I highly recommend it. Loved getting to spend time with my family. So it was my husband and his grandmother and his parents. And we just had the best time and created some really core memories that are sweet. I learned about myself that I think if you with jet lag, if you just get there early enough in the morning and just rally the whole day and then go to sleep when it's the time to go to sleep in that country, you can power through it. Like, the jet lag didn't affect me as badly as other travel experiences have. And I think it's because of like our flight times and how Melissa coordinated all of it for us, because we got there at like, I think it was 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. their time. And that would have been, I think we're 7 or 8 hours difference. So, I mean, it was or super late for us. And anyway, it was just, you would have wanted to have gone to sleep at that point. And we just like rallied and powered through it. And I think that was the best thing that I could have done because it didn't seem to have affected me the rest of the trip. Back in the States a few days now, and I can tell that I'm tired when I should be fully awake, but I'm powering through and it's pretty good. And I've continued to discover about myself that I hate long flights. Like, I just really do. I don't sleep well on planes, never have. I don't think I ever will, even with all the medicine. But I did sleep a little bit on the way back because it was like a 24-hour trip on the way back to get into the New Orleans airport. So it was a good trip. It was a long trip. I didn't realize how taxing it would be on my body. Like, I can feel it still feels pretty sore, but I don't work out like I should. I think if I like was hitting the workout scene pretty hard daily, I don't think this trip would have been so physically draining, but it was such a great, great trip. And it inspired me to want to kind of live a different lifestyle too, just with the diet and like with exercise, because obviously in Europe, they do drive, but a good bit of it is walking. And in the States, it's more, we drive and we don't necessarily walk places unless you're, in a metropolitan area, city center might make more sense for you to walk everywhere. But overall, highly recommend Greece. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. Great people, very passionate about their country and about their culture. And obviously, like the Olympics came from Greece. So many things that we take for granted or like don't think about like came from Greece. Also, fun fact, I did not know that like 80% of Greece is made up of mountains. I don't know what I thought geographically was going to happen, but that was not at all what I thought it was going to be. More tourists visit Greece every year than the entire Greek population. I do believe that. The capital of Greece, Athens, is actually named after the goddess Athena, and she is the goddess of wisdom and warfare and is the patron of Athens. So, according to, Greek mythology, Athena and Poseidon fought over the right to name the city, and the Greeks chose Athena to be the patron of Athens. Both gods offered the people a gift, and Athena gifting an olive tree and Poseidon offering water. But the people chose the olive tree as it was of higher value since it could provide oil, food, and wood. And so that's how she ended up getting the namesake of Athens. And she, technically, according to Greek mythology, Athena ended up winning out. And so don't sleep on good gift giving. Apparently, it gets you a city name. Greece is the third largest producer of olives, fun fact. But olive trees aren't necessarily like they weren't in Santorini at all, and I didn't really see them in Paris, but that to like the islands, I think Crete is another island, and they're kind of known for more of the olive oil. Santorini is really not. Santorini is known for its white wine. Now, I didn't get to experience like the dancing, like traditional dances in Greece, but apparently there's more than 4,000 traditional dances. I'm a little bit sad about that. Like, I really wanted that opa moment, which I know you're probably rolling your eyes. I promise I'm not just grabbing all of my Greek understanding from my big fat Greek wedding, but I have been to a Greek Orthodox wedding before and they did throw plates and yell opa, but I didn't get to experience that on this trip. I was kind of bummed. And Greek is one of the oldest languages still in use. So a lot of the written language that we use are shaped by Greek words. And that was what was really great about our tour guide in Athens was she was very knowledgeable about like all the words. She would like tell us different words that were specific that we thought meant one thing and they really meant another, but they like derived from obviously Latin slash, Greek language. So a lot of really great just insight and info. And overall, it was just such a great experience. Obviously, like philosophy was pioneered in Greece. So people like Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle, are very well known. And there are sites and like the school is there. And so philosophy is actually a Greek word, which means lover of wisdom. But the Olympic Games were held in Olympia in 776 BC, but it was generally accepted that the Olympics were at least 500 years old at that time. So the ancient Greek Olympics, held every 4 years, occurred during a religious festival honoring the Greek god of Zeus. And fun fact, apparently they would run around naked. Like these people were not clothed at the Olympics. They were like the men, like we're just running around. So that was funny to hear about when we went to the museum. Ancient Greeks invented the theater. And in Greece, ancient city-states had a theater, some big enough to hold 15,000 people. Only men and boys were allowed to be actors, and they wore masks, which showed the audience whether their character was happy or sad. Some of the masks had two sides, so the actor could turn them around to change the mood for each scene. And we saw one of those as we were walking up to the Acropolis, which was really cool. The Greece was ruled by the Ottoman Empire for centuries. So the Turkey-based Ottoman Empire conquered Greece and most of Balkan countries, and it was very fierce with trying to navigate. I feel like Greece was in and out of conflict for centuries, and the Turks were like all about conquering and holding. I think they like were over them for about 400 years. Oh, and going back to the written language, it's like one of the oldest. It's no wonder that over 150,000 words of English come from Greece and are derived from the Greek language. And that's really everything about Greece. I mean, I will drop a link to the blog. I'll have multiple blogs coming out about where we dined, where we hung out, where we stayed. I'll also link Melissa's info into our show notes. So seriously, she does great trips for a lot of different people in a lot of different countries. If you're looking to even book a getaway, she's your girl. Thanks for listening. Greece was amazing. I don't say all this lightly, like I'm very grateful and thankful for the opportunity to get to travel and to gain new perspective. I think my biggest takeaway is just to like take the trip, take the time to invest in yourself and the people around you. And if you can take time to gain a new worldview and perspective, you should. Absolutely. I think I felt so humbled and so small in the best way when I went to all these different historic sites and in the city and just even in Santorini, just seeing how like small I was in the grand scheme of the scale and the magnitude of these islands. I mean, very eye-opening, very humbling, and just stunning. I mean, absolutely stunning. Like the pictures don't do it justice. All the pictures that you saw on social were about like 5% of all the photos I took on my phone. So it's stunning. It's a beautiful place to visit. I highly recommend. But I think my biggest takeaway is just take the trip, take the time for yourself. Yes, work hard, but play hard too. And take time to rest for yourself. And I think you owe yourself time to rest and to unplug and recharge. And I think you need to surround yourself with a work culture that also appreciates you taking that time for yourself and gives that to you. Because that's really, I'm very fortunate that my work did allow me to take that time. And I realized that not everyone can just take 10 days, but I'm thankful that I've been able to work hard and prove myself and be able to take that time and just thankful that I was given that. So definitely take the trip.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ladies Who Lead podcast. Looking for another way to engage with the Ladies Who Lead podcast? Check out our Instagrams and our show notes at The Ladies Who Lead. And don't forget to check out our website, www.theladieswholead.com. Until next time, I'm SK Vaughn.